Angie Austin and Mike Opelka. Better for you than a whole box of sugar-coated unicorns.
Woo! You know, we've got all these crazy stories to talk about, but I think we need to talk about serious stuff because, you know, you and I do have a really good time together. We're kind of like our parents have left the house and we're, you know, in high school and we're calling all our friends and inviting them over. And, you know, we have tons of fun. But one thing that I really appreciate, one of the station owners said, I like it that you and Mike can be serious about things and we can take you seriously because you're both bright, even though you like to be wacky. He said some people get so wacky you can't take them serious when the time comes. And I really think we need to address the anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. because you have some sound from both Martin Luther King Jr., but also from Bobby Kennedy making an announcement about the death and about the assassination. And I think that historically, these are important pieces of audio for us to share today.
Yeah, these are times that we didn't know. And I was 10. So I grew up in this time and I was in Chicago. And Chicago was very racially tense, if you want to put a phrase to it. And we really didn't know how America was going to survive what happened in 1968 because we lost Dr. King 50 years ago today. And 2 months later, Robert Kennedy, who looked like he was skating towards winning the presidency, Robert Kennedy was killed just 2 months after it. And the day of Dr. King's death, Robert Kennedy played a very important role in keeping America together. And there were others, too. I remember a story that Whoopi Goldberg told about James Brown standing out and calming a crowd that was getting ready to riot, I think in Boston. And James Brown stood up and said, no, don't do this. Dr. King would not want this. And Dr. King did preach nonviolence in all situations. But Dr. King was in Memphis, Tennessee, supporting a strike by garbage men who found out that black garbage men were paid less than white garbage men. And he was there to march with them. And there was an injunction against his march. And he said, we're not going to pay any attention to that injunction. And I have a little bit of his final speech we'll play in a minute. But after he was killed, Robert Kennedy was in Indiana addressing, oddly enough, a black crowd in a very, I guess the word is ghetto neighborhood in Indiana. And he left. And the minute he left the stage, which was a pickup truck, he'd been standing in the back of a pickup truck, Angie, delivering a stump speech. He got the news that that Martin Luther King had been killed. And he said, we have to go back and tell the people. And the police, the Indiana State Trooper said, we can't protect you. There will be a riot. And he said, no, no, there won't. They have to know. And this is a little bit of that speech to that crowd. And remember, no smartphones, no internet. There weren't cell phones, none of that. They didn't know.
Could you lower those signs, please? I have some very sad news for all of you. And that is that Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Martin Luther King dedicated his life to love and to justice between fellow human beings. He died in the cause of that effort. In this difficult day, in this difficult time for the United States, it's perhaps well to ask what kind of a nation we are and what direction we want to move in.
Kind of sounds like something you would hear today.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's hard to believe that he lost his life then so shortly after that.
Yeah, it was 2 months later. 2 months later, and you know what? He talked about the fact that he addressed this crowd and he said, you know, if you're black and you're worried about this and you want to get angry at white people for killing Dr. King, he referenced his own life as in the same situation.
For those of you who are black and are tempted to be filled with hatred and mistrust of the injustice of such an act against all white people, I would only say that I can also feel in my own heart the same kind of feeling. I had a member of my family killed, but he was killed by a white man.
This speech, this address was not written. It's a different tone than we hear today, isn't it? Very different. At the very end of this, I could play a lot of this, but I want to make sure we have time to hear from Dr. King. But at the very end of this, I think this is where he actually brings it all together.
And what dedicate ourselves to what the Greeks wrote so many years ago, to tame the savageness of man and make gentle the life of this world. Let us dedicate ourselves to that and say a prayer for our country and for our people. Thank you very much.
So instead of a riot, he preached the message of Dr. King.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so here we're talking about the 50th anniversary of, you know, MLK being cut down by an assassin's bullet, and just Robert Kennedy would lose his life 2 months later, and referencing the death of his own brother at the hands of an assassin prior to, and relating to the rage that people would feel over the death, the assassination of Martin Luther King. And then you have a snippet of Dr. King's last speech, is that right?
Oh, yeah, the night before. And this is his final speech. And you wonder if Dr. King knew what was coming the next day, or if maybe this is what Dr. King felt every single day.
Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
That's the last public speech of Dr. King.
You're right. It's eerie almost to listen to his words, because you can't imagine that he had any idea, but you probably do imagine that he had threats on his life because he had such an impact. And hard to believe that he was only 39 years old, and Memphis marking the anniversary at 6:01 Central Time, the time of his death, an historic church bell will ring near the Lorraine Motel balcony where he was shot, and it will toll 39 times, the church bell. Hard to believe that he was only 39 years old. He seemed so wise beyond his years, and we're hearing from people who witnessed his assassination, his murder, and many of them say that they were never the same after seeing that.
Well, I can't imagine how you could be, and how, you know, one bullet from a lone gunman can change, or maybe energize a movement that has brought America to where we are now, that just recently we went from riots in the streets and fire hoses and dogs turned on black people to a black president. And this is part of America fulfilling Dr. King's dream.
They recount, some of the stories of people, who were there, the saxophonist who was scheduled to play with his band that night at King's rally, and the musical request that he was given. In fact, his last words were apparently to that saxophone player about, to the musicians about how to play, the song that night, to play it real pretty, or to, those were the last words. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Mike.